Jerry Hartman arrived in Buies Creek in 1979 as a sophomore transfer in the Campbell University wrestling program. Little did he know that just 2 years later, he would be leading that same team as its head coach while still an undergraduate. Campbell started its wrestling team in the 1960s and was guided by Gerald Brown, Ike Sherlock, and P.J. Smith to national recognition during the NAIA era. As the team transitioned to NCAA Division I, a native of Illinois by way of UCF would lay the foundation of a program that now ranks among the nation's best. My name is Stan Cole, class of 1987, and this is our latest installment of Tales from the Creek, where we visit with people who have made this place special over the years. I'm delighted today to be joined by Jerry Hartman, class of 1982 and a member of the Campbell Athletics Hall of Fame. Welcome to Tales from the Creek, Jerry, and thanks for taking the time to visit with us.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate the opportunity.
Jerry, let's go back to the beginning. How did all this get started? How did you get started in wrestling?
Well, I grew up with five brothers, and we wrestled a lot at home. And with my dad and among ourselves. So when I got into high school, they added it in the high school my sophomore year. I was in Winter Park, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And my two older brothers had wrestled. And so I took up wrestling and just, it was a love. Right from the beginning.
What was it about the sport that attracted you to it?
I think that probably it was the fact that I could compete with guys my own size.
Okay.
Was one of them. I had run track, played soccer, and played football. And it was great to be able to compete with somebody my own size in football, which I loved. I was obviously one of the smaller guys on the field, and so that was part of the thing. I liked the individual approach that wrestling gave, the discipline that it added was just great.
Tell us about your path that led you to Buies Creek from high school on to UCF and then to Campbell.
When I graduated from high school, it was 1977, so that was ways back. But I decided to just stay local and go to University of Central Florida. That was Florida Tech back then. They had a wrestling program. I was a walk-on and enjoyed competing a little bit that year as a freshman. But coming out of high school, I had decided that I wanted to major in religion.
Mm-hmm.
And my faith was extremely important to me. And I enjoyed spending a lot of time studying scripture. And so when I went to University of Central Florida, it was because it was local. I could go there and live at home and save a few dollars. I left University of Central Florida and thought I was done wrestling. Went to a Bible school in Canada with my older brother for a semester. And at the end of the semester, I felt like I had to get back into wrestling. And I wanted to go to a school that was a Southern Baptist school and that had wrestling. So there were two of those that I looked into. One was Campbell, and the other was Carson Newman at the time. So there was a longtime friend from high school that little did I know she would become my wife, and now my wife of over 40 years, and very, very special individual.
Mm-hmm.
We had never dated when we were in high school, but we were good friends. She was much more efficient than I was at organization and some of those things. So we did get involved in a lot of ministry together. But when I called her to see, she was at Campbell, and she'll tell you that I followed her here, and that may be true, but I didn't know at the time. So Campbell, the coach was P.J. Smith at the time, and he offered me a little bit of money, and Campbell, after the visit, was a great place. I met a lot of people that I thought were great, and so that was the beginning of coming to Campbell. And I came to Campbell and began wrestling that year for PJ and had a good first season, and then got hurt early in the second season, so I didn't have the opportunity to wrestle a whole lot for Campbell. Moved on from there. And
Jerry, what did you learn about, you know, oftentimes, you know, when you're in competition, and you've got your focus and you have to be concerned with that, what did you learn from those times when you were injured and you were not able to compete? Is that when you kind of got into the thought that you, hey, maybe there's something else I can do here with coaching or helping other people out since you couldn't compete because of an injury? Or?
Well, it was always, I mean, I always loved the sport. And so, to be a good wrestler, you usually have to be a little bit crazy. You're keeping track of your weight every minute of every day, and you're working out like crazy, and I know that's true in a lot of sports, because you can't be a good athlete in almost any sport without a level of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the benefits that I think is built out of athletics. Working with, when I wasn't able to wrestle, obviously in the room, I was there most of the time and trying to help out with the other guys, you know, that were in the room competing. And so, you know, I love the sport. The opportunity to coach never entered my mind until I came back to school. I had a couple courses left to take in my senior year. My wife had, Becky, was from the Central Florida area as well. And she had 2 years left to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was coming back to Campbell to finish the two courses, and we were going to be dorm parents in small dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the recruits, P.J. Smith, had recruited and had a full team, full roster of guys coming back the first year I ended up coaching, but I guess just previous to the startup of school, P.J. left. And so I came to campus with a job in mind, and I was going to be the resident director at Small Dorm, and Becky and I were going to live there. I had gotten married 2 weeks earlier, and when we were moving into the dorm, one of the new recruits came up to me, a guy by the name of Sean, that was out of Florida and said, I hear you're the new coach. And I said, that's news to me. I didn't know it at the time, but evidently Wendell Carr, who became a real mentor, and I couldn't say enough about the opportunity that he gave me and I know Wanda and others that the tennis coach as well, an opportunity as young people to do something you would only dream of, and that was coach at the college
level. Jerry, I shared a podcast with Wanda Watkins, and we talked about the fact that she went from senior to a grad assistant year to a full-time assistant year to head coach. You know, 2 years after she graduates, she's head coach, but you're still in class with these guys, and you're their head coach. What was that like? I mean, was there a little bit of a separation then, since you were married and had, you know, and you and Becky had started your life together? Was there a little bit of a separation there? But what was the dynamic like?
That was it was there. There was a little bit of that kind of feeling, but most of the guys on the team, and I just think I was blessed to have a group of guys that wanted to compete, wanted to be better, and wanted to win, mm-hmm. and were willing to pay the price and work hard at it. And so the transition really wasn't that difficult. I had a little bit of the same thing happened in high school, where we didn't have a coach my junior or senior year. He left, and we had a psychology professor, and so I kind of ran the practices, mm-hmm. and had done that early on. So I don't know. I guess I was a little prepared for it in that sense, but I give everything to the guys. Mm-hmm. They gave me the opportunity, and a lot of those guys are still involved with Campbell in the alumni programs and things. And so I really would have to say that just the level of character and commitment of the guys to the team really helped me make that transition. As well as there were a few coaches around. Danny Roberts was, I shared an office with Danny Roberts, mm-hmm. the first year, and I think they did that so that I would be around him and just learn, mm-hmm. a little bit. And that was smart. Fred McCall, who was the vice president at that time, I admired him and his ability. And Wendell Carr just kind of took me under his wing a lot and, you know, told me what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong sometimes. Hey, we're all there. And it was a growth process.
Jerry, what was that? I'm curious what that year would have been like, balancing classes with coaching a team, recruiting, and everything that's involved in running a program. What did a typical day look like for you, schedule-wise?
Well, the first year, actually within 2 weeks of getting married, I took a job in sales. At the same time, I didn't know I was going to be coaching, mm-hmm. and I took a job coaching. So the coaching was not a full-time position,
right.
back then. And so the typical day was a long day. I had two courses to take. I took them at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I had one semester and one the next semester so that I could get through that. But every day I was on the road early, usually in sales, and then I would make it back in time for practice during season, and typically from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock I did my recruiting calls. So it was long days, but I loved it, and you know, every part of it. And when I did have the advantage in the sales that I could take what time I needed to do whatever and schedule that.
Sure. You came along at a time where Campbell was making the transition from NAIA to the NCAA Division I competition. What was it like to compete and coach during those early days of Division I and to see where it's grown from that?
Right. Well, Campbell had committed to go Division I, and we had not competed extremely well the 1 year that before I took it in the Eastern Region was our qualifier for nationals. I had learned that we could stay, that Campbell could opt a sport as NAIA and ask that they allow us to do that. So the first year or two, we still competed in the Eastern Region, but they let us compete also in the NAIA. And there were a lot of smaller schools back then that had wrestling programs, and Campbell was wrestling them before I came. The Livingstones and Inaba and A&T, and it went on and on. And there were some of the schools that had wrestling then that later dropped it, East Carolina and LSU. And, you know, there were a lot of good big schools that dropped their programs as it went to equal funding and for women's sports. That had a real effect on wrestling. But for us, it was just a nice transition to be able to compete at NAIA, and we could beat a lot of the smaller schools, and guys could gain confidence from that, and we capitalized on that some. And as they got better there and gained the confidence, they figured out that they were every bit as good as anybody. And I think gaining that confidence is a big part of what helped change and
the program. Sure. You came in and wrestled under P.J. Smith, and then a year later, you're standing there across from the match from him when he's at Pembroke and you're at Campbell. What was that like? What was your relationship like with P.J. through the years?
P.J. and I were really good friends, and he had been a mentor as much as anything, and he loved the sport of wrestling. And so there was really nothing that I could do. Now, we became fierce competitors, and I guess just because he left here and was at Pembroke, it kind of set that up, and some of the guys saw it as competitive, and we had a lot of good, clean rivalry going, but I think it was good for both programs.
Absolutely. Longtime faculty member and faculty athletics rep Gary Taylor says that you kept the wrestling program going at Campbell for one reason especially, And that, but the fact that, tell us a little bit about what you did in order to get the old wrestling practice facility on Main Street converted into a place for training.
Well, I think it was a key time for wrestling because small schools were having a difficult time budgeting it because of the Title IX was just being implemented, and wrestling didn't have a women's equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And so Campbell was being asked to continue a sport and that would have been easy to drop at that time. And it was a real factor. And as Campbell being a small private school, you know, the number of students and everything is really important. So I felt like the most important thing I could do for both Campbell, who I had grown to love, not just because of the athletics and the wrestling, but because of the promotion of faith and character and things that so many of the faculty that had invested their lives in me promoted. Brant Tolsma, who was a great coach at the time, and a good bit older. I say a good bit.
Seemed like it then.
It seemed like then. He had kids and I didn't. but anyway, they were great mentors in it. But what happened was that we had the gymnasium. Carter was a great place to wrestle and have a wrestling match because a little bit of noise makes it seem like everything's coming down. And
sure,
and that to this day I still love to see and have wrestling matches over at Carter. The Lord gave me a voice that can be heard over most of them, and so. Usually, I was pretty boisterous in hollering and screaming, and enjoyed trying to raise the level of motivation,
right,
and keep it positive and competitive. So, but when you had basketball practice in the gymnasium, we were in the back room that was just totally inadequate to try to wrestle in. So they moved us out into the gymnasium, and we rolled out the mats every day. And that was okay for us, but it wasn't good for the students. They had no time in Carter whatsoever. And the students wanted a time where they could have some free time in Carter to play pickup basketball or whatever they wanted to do. So I was selling chemicals to the guy that owned Capital Marble, which was in the little building that they rented from Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that he was getting ready to move out of that facility before anybody else knew about it or many people knew about it. And so I got with Fred McCall. And he said he thought it was a great idea, and Wendell Carr thought it was a great idea. And so those two really drove it. And the idea was that Campbell would take that building and facility. And I had grown up the son of a building contractor and had learned carpentry from my father and done a lot of construction for years, every summer when I was in college and even in high school. So I knew a little bit about construction and, you know, wrestling doesn't take a lot. a few mats and a mat on the floor. Campbell was gracious enough to buy some new mats and enable me to take the work study guys, and some of the guys from maintenance were great. And we just put together a support system for the mats that got them off the concrete. And Fred McCall had invented the McCall jumper.
Rebounding machine, yeah.
Rebounding machine. So the pads on the walls, I don't know whether he donated it or what, but I found out that we had mats for the walls, so we were able to just glue the mats that he donated to Campbell, and we had a wrestling room.
What's it like, Jerry, now to think about those days where you had to share a floor with the student body, with the basketball teams? I remember from my undergraduate days in the mid-'80s that if it's in wintertime, Coach Kuntz would come in there and string up batting cages, and they'd have the baseball team in there at night doing that, to walking into a dedicated facility for a nationally ranked program over at the Pope Convocation Center and seeing all the advantages facilities-wise that these young men have. What does it feel like being one of those pioneers that helped start the footsteps that led us that way?
It's just a blessing. I am just thankful that I had an opportunity to be along the way and see it. Campbell chose at some key points, and some of the administration and the decisions that were made were way above my rank, and I am thankful that they chose to do that and to put the money into wrestling and build a facility and to hire a guy like Coach Collette. And after, you know, I coached, there were a lot of guys that really poured their hearts into the program too. So many of the coaches after myself, you know, worked hard at recruiting and bringing good kids in. And I really think a lot of it is that Campbell had the draw to the right individuals that could be developed into good wrestlers.
So along those lines, Jerry, what makes a good college wrestler, and especially one that, air quotes, fits at Campbell?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I would love to say that we can go out and recruit the top recruited wrestler in the country. I believe now we can. And Coach Scotty and his team are just as good as anybody in the country,
mm-hmm.
At both the coaching and at the recruiting and the business that athletics has become. So I do think we can compete at that. I think the added feature that Campbell gives that is few places is the desire to see individuals grow in their faith that is going to enable them to succeed in life and become individuals of character and individuals that can change the world.
The Fighting Camel Club empowers student athletes to lead with purpose on and off the field. Over the past 3 years, donations to the FCC have helped fund scholarships, facility enhancements, health and wellness improvements, and the greatest needs of the athletics department. With our move to the CAA, the need for your support has never been greater. Memberships begin at just $100 and can get you access to exclusive merchandise and seating. Head to GoCamels.com and hit the Give button.
You're listening to Tales from the Creek, the podcast where we visit with Campbell University athletics alumni who have made this place special. Our guest today is Coach Jerry Hartman. Jerry, following that 1988 season, you decided to leave coaching. What were some of the factors that led you to make that decision?
The biggest factor was that by that point I had one daughter, and my wife and I had begun a family. She had graduated and was teaching at the time, and the business that I had started the first week I started coaching had continued to grow and had become as demanding as the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't compete. It wasn't fair to Campbell. It wouldn't have been, or to my family. I couldn't do all three, raise a family. And I think the decision became really clear when two things happened. I landed a big piece of business with Fort Bragg,
mm-hmm.
That was going to require an awful lot of time. My daughter, I went 3 weeks and never saw her awake.
Wow.
And I loved it. I loved everything I was doing. It wasn't an easy decision. I had decided the year before that I was going to quit. And two of the guys that were juniors and going to be seniors that had I had had all the way through came and asked me to stay one more year. And so for them and Anthony Cox, who had 2 years left, and it was Rob Satilli and mm-hmm. Morton,
right.
and just solid young men that to this day are still good friends and mentors. But it was just I couldn't continue to do it all.
Jerry, what ways have you been able to stay in contact with the sport, with the program? Obviously, everyone that goes to a Campbell wrestling match knows to expect to see you there, and especially those ones at Carter Gym when you're on the front row with your feet up on the railing or your arms hanging over it. How have you stayed in contact with this sport over the decades?
Well, several of the coaches have been great about just allowing me to feel like a part of the program, and so that's been great. For a lot of years, I led a Bible study with many of the guys, and it even expanded beyond the wrestling program and some of the other athletes for a while there, and then my wife and I had to move to Fuquay, and
mm-hmm.
some of that was I wasn't able to do it quite as much and quite as involved. And in recent years, I've gotten back involved with some of the guys. I always enjoyed just getting to know the guys, trying to be a part, and a lot like Gary Taylor. Gary's been since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He was at nearly every practice when B.J. Smith coached. When I coached, he came in, and I shouldn't say every practice then, but he was around and a part. And you know, all the guys get to know him, and you know, they know he's there when they need a helping hand.
Sure.
And so,
Jerry, when you're sitting at a match now, is it hard to turn off those old coaching vibes, or do you catch yourself, or what's it like for you when you're watching the team now versus the time when you were pacing the sidelines?
Yeah, I don't know. Especially when you get to know the guys, and the more you know the guys, it's hard not to want to coach and just scream and hire for them. Fortunately, I try to stay out of the trying to coach in the technique and stuff, because the guys are probably, the wrestling has changed a lot, and the coaches are doing that extremely well. And if I can have an encouraging word to a kid when he's on the mat and he's struggling between, you know, the can I pull that in and make that happen or not, you know, whether it does any good or not, it does me some good be able to scream it and holler it. So it may be more for me than them. I enjoy it.
Jerry, you and Becky moved up here as students from Winter Park, Florida, and here you are 4 decades later in the area. What was it that appealed to you about this place and made you want to stay?
I think it was the people in this area and the university and staying involved with the wrestling, and I built a business here that's you know, so it all just kind of fit. I never had a desire to leave Bowie's Creek, and you know, we would like to finish our days here as far as that goes.
Last year you were inducted into the Campbell Hall of Fame. I know that you don't like talking about yourself, but what does that honor mean to you, Jerry?
I think it's a real honor that I am just thankful that I've been allowed to be a part of. I never saw it that way. For me, it was a mission. And I think that all of us, as we struggle in our faith and we find out that you find life when you give it away. And that as you do that, you're able to touch a life here and a life there, and knowing that you've had that opportunity to do that, and that it would be seen, to me is the greatest honor. I never had the money and huge amounts that I could. My family struggled, but the Lord provided, and we had enough means to succeed and do well in life. And my parents, who many of the wrestlers, they moved here about, 10 years ago now. They're elderly and still we have the wrestling team over sometimes once a year. And I've done that almost a lot of the time just to get to know the guys.
Sure.
And that, so it's, I guess I was taught to be responsible or try to manage the assets that the Lord lets us be a steward of for the period of time that we're here. And all of us need to try to keep that in mind, that we're traveling through, and we need to try to have as a mission to touch as many lives.
Finally, Jerry, can you put into words what Campbell University and this place have mean to you and the impact it's had on your life?
You know, it's hard to put it in a terms of Campbell University as a university, because it's really the people. And I could go through names of athletes and that were part of the wrestling program that touched my life from before I was coach, and then the faculty. There are numerous members of the faculty that, you know, as a young man, I was just able to get to know, and they touched my life and touched the life of my wife and my kids, and just growing up in this community and being around the type of people that are in the leadership and the faculty and professors and the staff at Campbell has just made a difference. And that's what I would say to any individual wanting to or thinking about coming to Campbell, that we make the difference. And I believe that is the case, is that the faculty and the staff of Campbell University has stayed true to promoting what is right and helping individuals build in faith and in character. And that's what I want for my kids, and that's what I hope everybody wants for theirs.
I'm Stan Cole, and our guest today on Tales from the Creek has been Coach Jerry Hartman. Thank you, Jerry, for sharing your Tales from the Creek.